Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a high fly ball to deep right. Hernandez back! Out of here! And just like that, the Giants lead 1-0. Welcome to the rivalry, Willie Adames.
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
Great way to endear yourself to Giants fans is hitting home runs against the Dodgers. And Willie Adames, man. Add that feather to your cap. Your first home run against the Dodgers as a Giant in your first at-bat. That is how you do it. Great job, Zach, bringing us back there. I kind of threw you a fast one at the end there. That was unfair of me, so my bad there. But I want to give you a couple minutes. Here's Zach Green, one of our newer producers here. Zach, give us your two-minute soliloquy on that game last night.
Yeah, amazing game. I want to shout out, Taylor Rogers, sorry. Right?
It was Tyler.
No, Tyler. Taylor's his brother. I want to shout out him because he, whenever he comes into the game, I'm always like a little skeptical just because I've seen him blow up, especially against the Dodgers. And, you know, his first batter was Conforto. And I know he used to be on the Giants, you know, we've seen him a lot. And to get that done in, what was it, 9 pitches?
Seven
pitches. It was just great to see. And then the rest of the game was just, you know, it was pretty flawless. And I'm really loving what I'm seeing from this team. And I believe, like, you know, if we can pick up a key piece here, maybe O'Hearn, right, on the Orioles, you know, you never know. And I do want to, you know, make a prediction here that, ooh, this could come down to the final game of the season with the Dodgers. I really do see these teams being neck and neck with the Dodgers' injuries. So that's just my prediction, and I want to see how it plays out.
Love it. That's Zach Green, the pride of Indiana University, our station Hoosier. Always got to have at least one Hoosier here at 95.7 The Game. We have not been filling that quota for the last couple years. Zach is filling that there. Love that take there, Zach. I'll be honest, Evan, I completely forgot that Michael Conforto was even in that game until Tyler Rogers got him in the eighth inning last night. That's just how, like, a non-factor Conforto was, which kind of feels like his time when he was here with the Giants. Zach, so you get nervous when Tyler Rogers comes in. All right, there's a lot of other Giants fans out there that are like that. I do not subscribe to that belief. But then again, I'm a big-time Tyler Rogers stan, so I don't know if I'm the best guy to be asking about that. But I don't disagree with your take there, Zach. I do think, this is going to be a three-team race all the way down to the last weekend. What do you think, Evan?
If you're ever looking for how to notice or not notice Michael Conforto, any ball to left field, just pay attention to how far he is away from the ball when it lands. Michael Conforto is one of the worst outfielders I've seen in some time. And any ball down the left field line, there's going to be like 5 seconds before a left fielder comes into the frame. That's how you know it's Michael Conforto. So there's that. Three-team race. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily count the Diamondbacks yet. Obviously, they took a massive blow with Corbin Burnes going down with Tommy John. But they can hit. And that's always kind of a sneaky, dangerous team. So I don't think we're at the point yet where you can dismiss them. I think they're about 500 right now. But the Giants obviously have an inroad to the division along with the Dodgers and the Padres. I think it's just setting up for some really exciting baseball in division. Like, that was actually one of the things that I'd remain apprehensive about the Giants. It's that though they'd been playing well and they'd been winning some tight games, up until that Padres series, they hadn't really played anybody in the division. I think they still got all their games left with Arizona.
Oh, no, they did. They lost 2 of 3 to Arizona.
Was that in Arizona?
That was at home. No, that was at Oracle's. I remember that Wednesday start, Jordan Hicks got lit up, and then he was...
Oh, yeah. Well, if we're talking about the Jordan Hicks era, then we're in trouble. But so they haven't really played many games against their division, and I think their division is one of the best in baseball. So I kind of have to still see a little bit more of it, because when you're measuring yourself against those sort of teams, that's what's going to dictate who comes out of the West. But the fact that the Dodgers are as banged up as they are, and the Giants are facing some injuries too, it's a prime opportunity to strike. Like, I would be disappointed if the Giants lose these next two games and don't get this series, because not often you're going to find yourself against a Dodgers pitching staff that's as destroyed as it is right now.
Got to take advantage of these wins when they come. They are 1-2 against the Diamondbacks. Again, as I mentioned, they dropped 2 of 3 to Arizona when the D-backs came here last month. They are 5-2 against the Rockies. Giants are one of two teams in baseball with multiple losses against the Rockies, the other team being the Miami Marlins. Against the Padres, they are 2-4, but they are in a two-game win streak there. And then, of course,
Win streak until we get to 3.
Okay, there we go. I guess that is true. As Lou Brown said in Major League, once you get the 3 wins, that is a winning streak. So, all right, fair. You got that one there. But they have won the last 2. And then, of course, the Giants are currently the first-place team in the National League West based on having the 1-0 tiebreaker over the Dodgers. So that is how that is being determined there. So great stuff there, Zach. And also love the Ryan O'Hearn thought there, too. That was when I did the show with Dan a couple weeks ago, we were kicking around, you know, first base options, and we both targeted the Baltimore Ryans, you know, O'Hearn and Mountcastle as potential options. Mountcastle on ice now for the next 8 to 12 weeks with a grade 2 hamstring strain. So, Ryan O'Hearn, you are that dude to keep an eye on going forward the rest of this season going into the trade deadline. Let's head out to the East Coast, one of our favorites here at 95.7 Game. You go to Jersey, talk to our guy Mitch. Mitch, what do you got on the Giants right now, man? How did you like that win last night over the Dodgers?
Some win. But you got to say the Dodgers got a lot of injuries. And it seemed like the Giants can stay healthy. They're the healthiest team in the division. Arizona's made their moves. You see their offense is picking up. To me, it's going to be a runner. It's the best division in baseball. I think all these teams should get themselves another hitter. What do you think?
No, I mean, that's kind of what you just mentioned there. The Giants are eventually going to have to go out and make that trade. I think it's just going to be a matter of when they go and make that deal. You saw, who was it, the Brewers picked up Andrew Vaughn this week off of the scrap heap that is the Chicago White Sox there, Mitch. Thanks for calling in. So that was kind of the first,
They really got off of Savali. So what happened is they brought up their new prospect, whose name I don't want to butcher, but he throws like 103.
Ah.
And that kicks Savali out of the rotation. And so instead of going to the bullpen, he went to the front office and said, trade me. And Andrew Vaughn has been not very good this year, so they were able to recoup at least a little bit something. So okay. that was more about the Brewers getting off a guy.
Oh, okay, I missed that part of the story. Thank you for updating me on that. Wow, how about that? Hey, trade me. Okay, sure.
I mean, Andrew Vaughn's hitting like 180.
Go to the White Sox, you know?
Yeah, that's fine. You can go start with Chicago. Have fun. Because like Savali's in a contract, not to get too deep in the weeds, but Savali's in the contract year. And so he wants to remain a starter because starters get paid. And they're like, fine, if you want to start, go start in Chicago, where you're going to get -2 wins for the rest of the season.
I mean, Andrew Vaughn, that was a name. He's the local guy, Cal guy. that was the guy I was kind of looking at in terms of being a potential first base option, mainly in terms of just it's a low risk, potentially high reward kind of pickup there. You wouldn't have to get a lot to get him, and you're hoping that the change of scenery, getting out of the south side of Chicago and that miserable situation there, would inject a little bit of life. That's probably expecting a little too much, though, out of him. If you're expecting Andrew Vaughn to be the savior of your season, you're probably going to have a bad time. Ryan O'Hearn obviously makes all the sense in the world for the Giants right now. The problem is Ryan O'Hearn makes all the sense in the world for anyone else in baseball who's going to be looking for a first baseman. And, you know, I think a lot of Giants fans, they probably want to see, you know, go get that bat right now. But if I'm the Baltimore Orioles, I'm letting the deadline come to me, and that's what I'm making a deal. Well, I don't know what the motivation would be other than unless the Giants make an offer they can't refuse.
No, I think it's going to take some time. By the way, Andrew Vaughn has a worse OPS than Lamont Wade Jr.
So, yeah, so that's why.
Yeah, he stinks. But the thing is, the Giants are in a position, I think, to let this play out a little bit. And I know that might sound crazy to a lot of people. Like, you got to make the trade. You got to get it now. You got to get a bat in here. This offense is not very good. That's all fair. But I think because, in a way, Sam, because of the Chapman injury, I would be hesitant to go out and acquire a player before this team is back to full strength. Now, Chapman, and there's some good news yesterday, right, that he's going to be reevaluated in a week?
I believe that, yeah, a week they expect. I guess his
to take
time,
out the splint.
His timeline, I guess, was 3 to 4 weeks. Bob Melvin kind of was like, that's his timeline, not the official timeline. They're going to have, obviously, a better sense of things when he starts resuming baseball activities, obviously. But the numbers I'm hearing is, yeah, 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, so that's going to be right around the deadline, a little bit before, and about the time you start pulling trigger on trades. Or I think we'll see some action around Major League Baseball before then. But that, to me, is also the time where then you can evaluate this group. Okay, you have to give them some time to prove that they can overcome some of these injuries. They'll get Bailey back soon, hopefully, as well. He's only on the 10-day. And at that point, once you have your full cast of characters on offense, to me, that's when you can really evaluate this group and figure out what you need. Because, again, for example, I don't think he's going to continue to hit this well, but if Dom Smith keeps swinging it the way he's been swinging it, maybe you don't need a first baseman. You know, to me, I think if the Giants are looking for a bat or a position player, I think they got to look a little bit bigger. And to me, the easiest prize on the market, not easiest prize, but the biggest prize on the market right now is Jarren Duran. And he's someone that has been made a little bit obsolete by Boston after calling up their latest number one prospect, Roman Anthony. He'll be at Oracle Park next week, as will Duran. And I think that's where the Giants can really make an evaluation of what he's worth and what they'd be willing to give up, because he's got, I think, 2 or 3 more years of team control. He's been an MVP candidate as of late. He can play 2 of the 3, if you need all 3, outfield positions, and he's an impact bat in the top of your order. So to me, Jarren Duran is the guy that I would like to see the Giants try and bid for. The biggest question is, do you want to go head-to-head with A.J. Preller and the Padres? Do you want to outbid someone on the East Coast? And how far away does Buster Posey really think this ball club is? And to me, that's why you have to wait. You still have to give this team some time to prove that it can continue to win or potentially fail a little bit before pulling the trigger.
I agree with everything you said there, because I do think, yeah, there is a level of patience. I want to see if Willy Adames, if he gets his back going. I think that changes the conversation in terms of what the Giants want to do. Before we hit the break here, we're going to have our Bryce check. I know Giants fans, they're going to want to see Bryce Eldridge up sooner rather than later. I think the soonest you would see Eldridge would be maybe in late July, but that's if everything goes really well for him down there, which, being that the sport is baseball and how rarely things go so perfectly in that sense, I'm not going to hold my breath for that.
I would be shocked if we saw him in July.
I would be too. Again, that's why I put the caveat on everything has to go well, but I've always been kind of consistent on this and saying that if Bryce Eldridge should not be looked at as the savior for this offense this year. Like, that is, I still see him as a September call-up. If he gets called up sooner, then that's my way of thinking that, okay, things are obviously going really, really well there. But again, he had that grand slam last week. He's kind of cooled off a little bit since making it to AAA, and he still has to get figured out at first base defensively. So that's a low option there. But yeah, again, Ryan O'Hearn again at first base. I like the Jaron Duran idea as well. It will be interesting to see just how this offense kind of looks over the next few weeks, because when Matt Chapman said that he hopes to be back before the All-Star break, that basically told me that he's not going to be back until after the All-Star break. And then we get that 3 to 4 week timeline, and they did get the positive update from Dr. Stephen Shin yesterday down in L.A. You're getting about as good of an update as you can, but 3 to 4 weeks is still 3 to 4 weeks. Still got to get that bat back up to speed once he does get back into the lineup there. So I think you hit the nail on the head there, Evan. When Chapman gets back, you'll probably have 2 weeks to really see what this team can do coming out of the All-Star break. The schedule there at that time, again, you're going to be facing the Blue Jays in Toronto. You got to take on the Braves. And then you got a 3-game set against the Mets and 3 more against the Pirates. So you'll have a good chance to kind of see against lesser competition and the Mets what this team can do. One option I was kind of hoping the Giants could turn to for their offensive woes, unfortunately, Evan, was Gerard Encarnacion. The Giants found him last year. He's been bouncing around a lot. He spent some time in the Mexican League for a time. He was in the Marlins organization for a couple minutes there. He's been all over. And for me, Evan, Gerard, he had all the looks of a dude who could just crush the ball. I believe on Steiny Guru last week, you guys were having a conversation about stats that don't matter or so. I think that was the topic of the conversation.
Yeah.
And Steiny and Guru were having an argument about exit velocity and how, you know, how much that matters. And Guru liked it. Steiny didn't. I looked at Gerard Encarnacion, and I think this is a very much a lesson in terms of exit velocity is in no way, shape, or form a end-all, be-all, or something that just because it looks really good, that's a guy who will be really good. But the reason I got so infatuated with Gerard Encarnacion last year is, again, he did hit the ball very hard. He had a 95-mile-per-hour average exit velocity. He was among the league leaders in the max exit velocity. His barrel rate's right up there. He had one of the fastest bat speeds in baseball last year. The problem with him, though, is while he can hit the ball far, the problem is just getting him to hit the ball. And that's where I feel like we're kind of seeing the contact there for Encarnacion. I just think is not good enough to where you can look at him as a guy who's going to inject consistent offensive life into this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. One, I don't think Steiny really cared about the stat. Guru didn't like it, though. And I think it's a stat that is, like, it's an ancillary stat. I personally enjoy knowing how hard a ball was hit because I think it makes, for example, a great defensive play, you know, on a hard ground ball look that more impressive. I think it's just kind of an aesthetic thing for me that I enjoy. I would never make a sweeping judgment about a player based on how hard they hit the ball. However, I will say that there is a correlation generally between how hard you hit a ball and what type of hitter you are. For example, and this is an outlier because he's the best hitter in baseball right now, but Aaron Judge hits the ball harder than anybody else. And one of the reasons this year that he's hitting 390 is because of how hard he hits the ball, Sam. Outfielders are playing at a depth that they do not play. They're playing, like, an average depth would be 280 feet. They play between 290 and 300 feet from home plate against Aaron Judge. So that means that even when he doesn't hit the ball hard, you're going to see more of those bleeders and bloopers. Also, how hard you hit the ball on the ground matters because you're able to force hard hit balls through the infield. So hitting the ball hard is a good thing. But to your point, the contact also needs to be there. There's a big prospect for the Cardinals. I think it's Jordan. Is it Jordan Lewis? Probably, he's probably in the back. He's going to correct me soon. But this guy hits the ball at like a 99th percentile as far as how hard he hits it. He's one of the worst hitters in baseball because he chases a lot. He has horrible plate discipline. And
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
He doesn't make enough contact. If you're asking Gerard Encarnacion to come in and be captain save a lineup, you're in a bad place. I never thought that this was a guy that was going to step in and improve the Giants markedly. You're just hoping to get some production against lefties. But the issue is that where Buster Posey differs from Farhan, and I think Encarnacion fits a little more into the older regime, is he's a platoon player.
Yep.
Like Encarnacion is a guy that is a specialist against a certain type of pitcher, left-handed. And that's not someone that's going to help you over a long period of time. So where does he really fit? To me, he fits if you're trying to, like if you had a Lamont Wade, that was fine, or maybe a Dom Smith. Like Dom Smith is going to hit against righties and Encarnacion against lefties. Sure. But to me, that's again, just trying to cobble together offense for one that's not very good.
Oh, yeah, you're going fishing, basically. You're taking.
You're not getting Edwin and Encarnacion.
Yeah, no, you're... What Gerard Encarnacion was, it was kind of the last attempt of a Farhan find, so to speak, where, you know, early on in Farhan's tenure, he was really good at kind of finding these guys off the scrap heap, whether it was a, you know, Lamont Wade Jr. in 2021, just to, you know, to name the most, you know, notable one. Mike Yastrzemski, I guess, was a Farhan find that has worked out really well. Darren Ruff was briefly one of those. It looked like it was one last desperate attempt to make that happen, and my belief was like, okay, the power is there. If they could just figure out a way to get the contact to come around, you could have a dynamic baseball player there. It's just, I just don't believe it's going to happen anymore. It was a bit of a long shot of a lottery ticket there for the Giants, but I just don't see it happening. The chasing and missing is he's missing at everything. Now, again, it's been six games. He's had 17 plate appearances on the year, and he was coming off of a wrist fracture. So there is room for him to kind of figure out a way to prove me wrong on this one. But I think it's just he's more of a platoon, I think, as you said, a platoon DH type. And I don't really see a big room for him on this roster kind of going forward as a premier bat in this lineup, especially when Wilmer Flores has that DH spot locked in, when Dom Smith is looking like he is locked in at first base. And, you know, Girard, he's a big dude. He can move a little bit more than you would expect for a guy his size, but I'm not feeling super comfortable with him in right field over Mike Yastrzemski defensively. So it's just at a point where it's just, if the contact isn't there, I don't see how much longer the Giants are really going to have him on the roster unless he just dramatically turns things around.
No, but again, you don't want to take away from the fact that he could have a moment, just like Andrew Kisner last night had a moment, like Casey Schmidt had a moment. These are all players that in a vacuum are frankly not very good, and they don't hit very well, and they chase a lot, and they have flaws in the grand scheme of things. Encarnacion is a flawed baseball player at the major league level. But that doesn't mean that he still can't help you win a baseball game. And I think that's why the Giants have been so impressive to me and why I've sort of underrated them, to be honest. It's that they've been able to patchwork together enough offense to give their sparkling pitching staff enough to work with. And looking at, again, between now and the deadline, where ideally you would find some reinforcements, that's why it's like the Giants are 12 games above 500. If over the next 20 games or potentially 30 games until they get Chapman back, if they go 10-10 or 15-15, that's not a bad result. And I realize that it would involve a lot of us talking about, well, who are they and what are they doing and why aren't they playing well? But if you can go 500 without one of your best players at arguably, you know, one of your most important positions, yep, that's a place where you can then springboard off of. And I think that the Giants right now have a chance to be a little bit better than 500 over the next 20 or 30 games. But that's the importance of the early success that they've found, because when you've banked as many wins as they have against the teams that they've beaten, now you're in a position to sustain an injury like Matt Chapman.
Yep.
And to have to rely on the Encarnaciones or the Schmidts. And that was not a position that previous Giants teams could say that they would find success in.
I think a lot of
the last couple of years.
I honestly think a lot of Giants fans, if you went, you know, 10-10 over these next 20, it's kind of getting, like I said at the beginning of the show, it's like when you lose your starting quarterback, can your backup just get you a split over the time that he missed? You know, if Brock Purdy's out four games, can Matt Jones win two of those games? You know, if Matt Chapman's going to miss 20 games, can Casey Schmidt, you know, provide enough production to help this Giants team win 10 of those 20 games? I'm not saying Casey Schmidt has to carry those the Giants during that time, but can you help create enough production to get a split over that time without one of your best hitters? Yeah, I'm absolutely going to take that over that period of time. So got the final stretch coming up here. Giants-Dodgers tonight's going to be Landon Roop against old nemesis Clayton Kershaw. We're going to talk about that on the other side. Also later tonight at 5:30, the Valkyries are hosting the Seattle Storm, and you can hear that game right here on 95.7 The Game and the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Kevin Dana, Sophia Jones, they will have the call right here on 95.7 The Game as the Seattle Storm with Skylar Diggins and Nneka Ogwumike, they are coming to town. Valkyries riding a two-game winning streak. They're 4-5. Can they get back to 500? How was it having Coach Nakase on the other day?
Oh, Natalie was great. Yeah, no, she's look, I think the team, even though they're, you know, a game below 500, they are playing an exciting brand of basketball that's got me intrigued and obviously going to be locked into Giants-Dodgers tonight, but I'll have the Valkyries on the side for sure.
Oh, yeah, a lot of different screens tonight. You got Valks, you got the Giants-Dodgers, and, of course, I believe Stanley Cup Game 5 is tonight as well. So lots of fun stuff to watch, but we're talking baseball here on The Wrap. Final stretch on the other side brought to you by Fairmont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
In the Bay on 95.7 The Game.
That was one of the best plays last night by Casey Schmidt. Dwayne Kuiper with the call there. Casey Schmidt with a great back to the infield catch, running down that fly ball there. Totally spacing on who hit the ball there, but it doesn't really matter who hit the ball. The fact of the matter is that Casey Schmidt caught the ball. Giants winning 6-2 last night against those evil, dreaded Los Angeles Dodgers. Both teams sitting atop the standings right now with equal 41-29 records. Giants are technically, though, the first place team by virtue of owning the tiebreaker over the Dodgers 1-0 based off that win last night. That is how tiebreakers work in baseball these days. Another one tonight, though, Landon Roop will be on the hill. He is 4-4, a 3.29 ERA against old nemesis Clayton Kershaw. He with a 1-0 record and a 4.35 ERA, though. But again, I know he's a shell of himself or a skeleton of himself, but Clayton Kershaw always finds ways to dig deep and bring his best work against the Giants. Evan, help me out with something here. I know I've seen you with A's stuff here, and I've seen you with Padres stuff here. Is there one team that you place above the other in that dynamic?
Not really. So I like baseball. I know this might sound a little bit foreign to a lot of people, but I like the game of baseball.
Ooh, bold. I like that. Well, I'm just kind of curious because I know you are a Padres fan, so to speak. I know you say you love baseball.
So everybody thinks that I'm a Padres fan.
Well, okay, so fan. You wear Padres stuff all the time.
Well, yeah, I know people that work for the organization that send me gear, and I like free stuff. But my parents live in San Diego. My brother lived there for a long time, went to UCSD. I have friends that are in San Diego that root for the Padres, and I want them to be happy.
I see. Okay, so is that an incorrect characterization of me to say that you are a Padres fan then, or...?
I mean, I don't feel like a Padres but the Padres played last night against the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. Which game did I watch last night?
Did you watch this?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I watched the Giants-Dodgers game because that's the best game on television.
Okay.
You know, like I like to watch good baseball. I enjoy baseball.
I see.
Now, the team that I used to probably, that I grew up loving was the Oakland Athletics, but they have since turned their back on the city. And so, you know, like this is something that I find fascinating, like fandom. You have to be a fan of a team. You have to love a specific team. I don't operate like that. Like, and I think working in sports has made it a bit easier to do that. What I root for are great moments, great plays, and great players. I think that there are awesome people on every single team across Major League Baseball. I think there are some people that I don't really enjoy succeeding on teams in Major League Baseball. So if we're talking about, this is why I like doing the show, if we're talking about this game last night, I thought there were a lot of great moments the Giants had. I love watching Logan Webb pitch, but I would not categorize myself as a Giants fan, nor would I categorize myself as a Padres fan.
I see. Okay. Now, no, that makes sense. I mean, there are a lot of people who are like that, especially here in the media. I've met a lot of people who describe themselves as baseball agnostic is the phrase that I've heard to describe the how they look at it. You know, they're guys who, you know, used to be a Diamondbacks fan, but now they're neutral. Used to be a Tigers fan, but now they're neutral. So, no, that is in no way, shape, or form strange. I mean, honestly, that's kind of how I am for football, actually, as I grew up an Oakland Raiders fan. And then, much like what the A's did to you and your fellow A's fans, the Raiders did to myself, Joe Spadoni, and all of us other Raider fans, they turned heel and left. And when the Raiders left in the way that they did, it made it hard for me to consider myself a fan of them, but I don't want to just go pick another team. So that's kind of where I joke, I'm a fan of my fantasy football team. Or when it comes to the 49ers, I root for the 49ers to do whatever makes my job here at 95.7 The Game more fun and enjoyable, which is why I wanted them to win the Super Bowl a couple years ago, because that would have made things very fun and enjoyable here at the station, being able to talk about that rather than what we ended up getting to talk about, which was, you know, a lot of Brandon Ayuk drama. The reason I brought that up, though, Evan, is the fact that you're a neutral baseball fan doesn't totally torpedo what I'm about to ask you, but it's the whole concept of this Giants-Dodgers rivalry and how it's being held up against this Padres-Dodgers rivalry. And Major League Baseball is making or positioning Giants, or sorry, positioning Dodgers-Padres as the premier West Coast rivalry. I talked about this with a guru on the podcast the other day, but I'm curious, just where are you at on the whole, is the Padre-Dodger rivalry the premier rivalry on the West Coast, or are you still kind of one of the old-fashioned people or the very biased people like myself who look at Giants-Dodgers as, doesn't matter what the records are, that is always the rivalry?
Well, I think rivalries demand competition, and to be honest, there hasn't really been much between the Giants and the Dodgers the last 3 years. That's why I think this series was actually really important, because say the Giants get beat last night 9-0, they lose today, maybe they get swept. That's not a rivalry. That's a thrashing. And the Giants have been largely thrashed by the Dodgers, which is why, again, a lot of fans, I think, have been conditioned to believe that this series is kind of just, you know, like clutch your pearls and twist your fingers and pray. But what I believe coming into the series is that this is where you can kind of see the rivalry come back, because both teams are competitive. The Giants were just a game back before last night of the Dodgers. They've both been playing quality baseball. And it's important to put the Giants back on the radar of the Dodgers. So I think if you talk to a lot of their fans, they don't really care about the Giants. Nor do I think they largely care about the Padres. But because those two teams have met in the playoffs the last three seasons, that means that the, I don't know, rivalry or relationship between those two fan bases or teams It's more emotive. It's more charged.
There's an extra zest on their matchups right now.
Especially because the Padres have won one of those postseason series. So it's not just as if it's a one-sided big brother, little brother thing. There's been losses on both sides. That's why I think the Dodgers and the Padres, like I was listening to Joe Davis and Earl Hershiser during the Padres-Dodgers series. Earl Hershiser admitted that the rivalry was between the Padres and the Dodgers. And that's someone who's obviously been a part of a lot of Giants and Dodgers games, heated moments, big games, big pitching. And so I was a bit surprised to hear that. But I do think that if the Giants can take two of three, which they're in a position to, that's an eye-opening statement to me. That's why I thought last night was a statement game, why it was as significant as it was, because the Giants have not really been on the radar of West Coast baseball. But they're a good team this year. They're flying under the radar. This series is a massive one to get them back into the limelight where I think they've proved that they can play. And so, in a long-winded way, I do think, yes, you're starting to see that rivalry come back between the Giants and Dodgers. And when it's at its peak, it doesn't really compare.
No, it really does. And I think that's very well said. And I see you the Dodgers-Padres version of this rivalry as the phrase that Guru used was sometimey. There's all-timey rivals and there's sometimey rivals. And what I see here between the Dodgers and the Padres is, you know, two teams who happen to just be slugging it out with each other atop the NL West for the last few years. They've been going back. It's almost like a rivalry of circumstance. Like, they're just, are they rivals or are they just the two best teams in this division butting heads all year round and then running into each other in the playoffs and butting heads there and having, you know, some incredible moments transpire within those matchups. And when it's the same guys every year, when it's guys like Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Xander Bogaerts on one side, Shohei, Freddie, Mookie, Will Smith on the other, guys who you know are going to be around for a long time, the longer these guys see each other, the more, maybe hatred's a strong word, but the more that rivalry animosity starts to build up. And you do see whereas, like, Giants-Dodgers rivalry, it's a rivalry that we as the fans who are a part of it, Giants and Dodger fans, have been experiencing our entire lives. This is a rivalry that goes back to the 1880s or 1890s, so whenever it started.
Yeah, when we were alive.
Yeah. Whereas Dodgers-Padres, it's more just like, you know, it's the hot thing right now. But 5, 6, 7 years from now, if, you know, the Padres, you know, their run ends, and if the Dodgers is still going, or it could be the other way around, too, if the Dodgers run ends and the Padres is still going, are we still looking at it as a rivalry in the same way that we look at Giants-Dodgers, where, you know, like in 2017, Giants were absolute, you know, poo, and the Dodgers were absolute royalty, but it still felt like there was a rivalry there, even though the teams were on opposite ends of the standings. Like, that's where I say, like, what makes the Giants-Dodgers rivalry so much more ironclad is that yeah, it is a true, you throw the records out when these two teams meet. Not because, you know, it's one of those things where any team could win, but it's just the circumstance of what each of these teams are in, the circumstances these teams are in, I don't think dictates how intense the rivalry is, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I think largely rivalries are dead in sports. I mean, I just don't think that, like, Yankees Red Sox last night doesn't really do much for me. The reason why I was watching Giants-Dodgers last night is not because it's a rivalry game. It's because it's two really good teams.
Yeah.
Like, if the Giants were 15 games below 500, I'm not watching that game. And the rivalry has nothing to do with it. It's because the Giants aren't very good. Or vice versa. If the Dodgers stunk and the Giants were good, that's just not that interesting of a series to me. The Chicago series, the Subway series between the Mets and the Yankees, like, rivalries across sports to me are dictated now by the results and the intensity of the individuals involved. Because there's so many transplants on all these teams. Like, you look at the Dodgers, they're not really homegrown. Like, Mookie Betts is nothing against the Giants. He grew up with the Red Sox. Freddie Freeman's been an Atlanta Brave for a decade. Like, he doesn't care about the Giants. But when there's moments like last night of Casey Schmidt hitting a grand slam to steal game one of a series, that's where you start to see those heated battles become a bit more apparent. You know, the Kershaws is going today. Those guys are kind of been tossed to the wayside because teams are trying to spend big bucks to buy big players or trade away homegrown prospects to acquire more talent. And the Giants are a little more homegrown, but they haven't been that competitive. And so I think when I hear someone say, oh, it's Dodgers versus Padres, I get it. Tatis Jr. pimping home runs left and right off of Trevor Bauer going back to 2022, or him eviscerating them in the playoffs in a 3-1 series victory. Like, those are the moments that stick with fans. And I just think fans are very short-sighted. And that's why the rivalry is, I think, swayed a little bit more towards the Dodgers and the Padres, in addition to the geographic thing matters a little bit.
Absolutely.
But rivalries as a whole are so, like, no one in 2025, with respect to the dead, cares about the New York Giants and the Brooklyn Dodgers. And it going back to, what, the 1958 season where they both moved west and became the crowning jewels of West Coast baseball. No one cares about that anymore. They care about what you've done for me lately and how competitive your team is. So I think that at its peak, at its height, Giants-Dodgers, it's got the built-in history, all the rest, that is number one. But I can't fault a fan for looking at this quote-unquote rivalry and not really giving an S about it, because the Giants haven't had anything to give an S about the last 3 years.
Yeah, I think for a lot of baseball fans, I would agree with that. I do think, though, for fans who are a part of it, though, obviously the history is going to be mattering more, just because it's for me as a Giants fan, it's what you grew up learning. For Dodger fans, it's the same way. And I'd be curious how, you know, lifelong Dodger fans who have been around for a long time do kind of view the rivalry as well. Because I know Giants fans, you know, when they see the Dodgers on the schedule, it's almost like in a lost season, you know, getting a win over the Dodgers can make so much of a difference. You know, it's like a similar thing with college football too. You know, if Cal is having a lost season, they're not going to a bowl game, you got that big game at the end of the year. If you can bring the axe home, it's almost like a bowl game in its own right. Like, that's kind of, again, college rivalry is a little bit different than professional rivalries. But I do think there is that fan element. I always think the fan element's a little bit stronger than the players element, in terms of, like, the fans take it more seriously than the players, because you made a great point. There's so many transplants. These guys are all friends with each other now. These guys, back in the day, when guys were on the same team their entire careers, you know, they were playing against these guys in the minors, they're playing against them in the majors. It's kind of like what you're seeing with the Dodgers and Padres, where if you play each other enough times, you just learn to hate those guys. You don't have that as much anymore, because, like, you know, you're not going to get into it with a guy on the other team this year because he could be your teammate next year. And so there's just so much familiarity and friendliness in sports these days. You know, everyone is too nice to each other almost, that I feel like that kind of takes a little bit of that edge away from rivalries, unless you have a situation like Dodgers Padres where you're meeting each other so many times that you just get sick of each other. Logan Webb was asked about kind of where the rivalry is at right now and if the rivalry means more right now after the game. Here's what he had to say about that.
No, I mean, it always feels like we're, you know, it's hard, right? You know, I've gotten to meet a couple of those guys over there. They're good dudes. It's not like, you know, you hate them, but when you go out there on the field, I'm not a huge fan of them. You know, I'm trying to get all of them out. I'm trying to beat them, and all of us feel that way. And there's just something about the, you know, Dodger Giants. It's one of the best rivalries in sports, and you could feel that today. I mean, the whole crowd, the energy in the dugout, everything was just kind of amplified. You know, you feel that at home when you face them, feel that here. So being able to come in here and do that was great. Great start to the series. Got two more, and hopefully, you know, we come in tomorrow with that same energy. But yeah, it's always fun to come into LA and beat them. So
again, yeah, a little bit of always fun to come into LA and beat them. But again, the part that stuck out to me is when you said, you know, there's a lot of good guys over there. I like a lot of those guys, and I think if the players like each other, then obviously there's not going to be as much hatred and animosity. And I think that kind of takes that edge out of a rivalry.
He doesn't care. Like, let's be honest, he doesn't care. Like, the way that he's talking about the Los Angeles Dodgers right there is the same way he'd talk about the Cincinnati Reds or whatever team, honestly, he's pitching against that night, because that's who Logan Webb is, and I think that's a reflection of a lot of athletes in 2025. That's why the rivalry, it adds a little bit, but it's not the main story. Like, Dodgers, Giants, Yankees, Red Sox, insert big rivalry, like, you know, Lakers, Celtics. It doesn't mean anything anymore to these guys. And I, as a fan of the game, am taking what they're telling me, and I'm going to believe them. I do believe that Logan Webb likes guys on the opposing team.
Oh, he totally does.
And yeah. Then he realizes, oh, shoot, I said I like the Dodgers. Yeah, you know, it kind of, you can feel it in the dugout, and it's amplified, and the crowd was really into it tonight. Yeah, you know why? Because they sell out every single night, and there's 55,000 people at Chavez Ravine. Mm-hmm. That's why it's amplified. There's always energy in that building, just like there's energy now returning to Oracle Park because of how well the Giants have played. And I think on the heels of a series victory against the Dodgers, you're going to see next week against the Cleveland Guardians and the Boston Red Sox just as much juice in San Francisco because the team is playing well. There's hope. There is suddenly energy surrounding this baseball team that's been dormant for about three seasons. So to me, I do think playing into the rivalry, we can have fun with it, and I hate those guys and all the rest. That's not what I hear from the athletes, man. Like, take the Padres and the Dodgers. If that truly is the best rivalry in baseball, whatever. Jackson Merrill just did a podcast with Mookie Betts. That's the whole reason why we're talking about this in the first place.
Yeah.
Is because they did a podcast together and said fans are meet in San Fran. And then Max Muncy says, well, there's only one rivalry. And it's like two players on opposite teams battling for the same thing are sitting down and breaking bread to do a podcast together. If it was really a rivalry, that would not happen. I'm sorry. If you have a real distaste for an opposing team,
you don't think
or
Manny
brand,
Machado's going on that podcast with Mookie?
Manny Machado's been a Dodger. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's played with some of these guys. It's just what happens in sports nowadays.
Yeah, no, I think that's the big part of it. And that is why I think the rivalry is stronger within the fan bases now than it is with the players these days. Got a few more minutes here before we get out of here. Let's go to the lines, 888-957-9570. Bobby in Los Altos. How you doing today, Bobby? How you feeling about the Giants' chances these next two games?
What's up, Bob?
All right, Loverman, Giddy Gids, thanks for taking the call. Quickly, the Padres-Dodgers definitely is a thing right now. I mean, that, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Yerickson Profar, that fake-out home run catch by Mookie last year. I mean, that's certainly becoming, I would consider it a local rivalry, right? Mm-hmm. So, honestly, and then, you know, Loverman, honestly, I'm more excited for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup, but please no overtime because you cannot dual screen overtime playoff hockey. So I hope that that game ends after three periods because that series is definitely destined for seven. Now, on to the Giants. I think last night, I think the MVP of that game was at home plate umpire because in that it was at the third inning, he made Yamamoto pitch like 150 pitches. And I think probably Jung-Hoo Lee was the only fourth ball that actually looked like a ball. So, you know, look, when opportunity knocks, you got to take it. And obviously Schmidt, I mean, every day he's a bum, he's a hero, he's a bum, he's a hero, right? So, you know, good for him. It was obviously great. And then I told you, Giddy Gids, yesterday that Adames would become a Giant this series. And obviously, he made his impact very early. But this is what I want to say. I think they're going to win today. And I know I'm being presumptuous, but I think what I'm interested in about is game three. And do they have that killer edge to sweep the series? Yes, I'm going there. To sweep the series, or are they going to just relax and say, we've won the series and pull a last game Colorado? Because that was atrocious the way they lost to Colorado that last game. And that's what I want to know because, you know, as we discussed yesterday, dude, the Dodgers are decimated. And if you can't beat them now, dude, you don't got much confidence going into when Blake Snell becomes Blake Snell, right? When the rest of the guys get better. So great win last night. I fully expect them to win. And now I've raised my expectations for them to sweep and really show me that at least for now, they are formidable opponents in the West.
Love it, Bobby. Thank you for the call there. And, yeah, expecting a sweep. Giants will have a chance to get a little bit closer to that tonight. Landon Roop against Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw, career against the Giants, a 2.04 ERA, a 2.08 opponent batting average, 408 strikeouts in his career, 397 innings pitched, 5 shutouts. Those are all the best he has against any opponent. So Kershaw has always saved his best stuff for when he faces the Giants. And this will be a great chance, a great test for Landon Roop, who has been pitching very, very well over the last month. He's got a 1.61 ERA over his last 4 starts, 16 strikeouts over 22 innings pitched in that time, allowed three runs over six innings against the Braves last weekend. Before we get out of here, I don't know, Evan, what do you think about what Bobby said? Do the Giants, do they need to get that sweep? Do you feel as confident as Bobby is in getting that sweep? What do you feel on that one?
Well, and Bobby, thanks for listening yesterday. Great to hear from you again.
Love the nicknames that he had for us, too.
Yeah, I'll take it any day. I told everyone yesterday I would not be shocked if the Giants won this series. To sweep would, I think, certainly be a statement, but go get today. I mean, the one thing that last night I felt confident in the Giants because I thought they had the edge on the mound. I think they still have the edge on the mound today, though the other guy is Clayton Kershaw. This is his 18th year, and he's 37 years old. This is not 25-year-old Clayton Kershaw. Landon Roop has been very good. He hasn't been as good away from Oracle Park this year, but he's been pretty damn good for you. And I think the Giants are going to be in a tight one today. I don't think they're going to cruise like they did last night, but that's kind of what Bobby's getting at is, do you have the ability to take a series, to strip it from your opponent? You know, I think they do, but I think you also have to lean a little bit and give some credit to the Dodgers. Like, the Dodgers are a very good club. They have a very good offense. And with a couple of swings, they could change the trajectory of tonight or tomorrow's game. So I wouldn't go in assuming a sweep, but I do think that if they don't win one of these next two games, I would be disappointed because I think they have the advantage on the mound, quite frankly, in maybe both of them, because May hasn't been that great this season. So neither has Harrison. But my point is, tonight is the game to get. And then tomorrow, that's where you'd like to get greedy. But I think if I'm looking at which game to get greedy for, it's probably tonight.
Especially, again, I know Kershaw's, you know, not what he used to be, but he is still a lefty. He is still a guy who has given this organization.
He threw well his last time out, but he hasn't gone further than five innings this year.
And so it will be interesting to see who's even available in the Dodgers bullpen tonight. So I do think that if you're the Giants, if you could put up a win, even if it is on 37-year-old Clayton Kershaw, just that feeling alone is going to be enough to where if you win tonight and don't win tomorrow, beating Kershaw, even as a shell of himself, always feels great for the Giants there. And then tomorrow night, Kyle Harrison going against Dustin May, one of the guys out there has got a great head of hair. So we'll see how the Giants do on ESPN tomorrow night. Evan, man, thanks for joining us on the wrap this morning.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. Looking forward to a great rest of the series.
Definitely. All right, that was Evan Giddings. I am Sam Lubman. Thank you to everybody who called in. Thank you to the Giants for winning last night and giving us something fun to talk about. Rizzo, Zach, great job behind the glass today. And for everyone else, catch you on the next one.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.